Well, hello, there you are. You're all sitting out there with your pinnies on and your pots and pans ready to go, waiting breathlessly for Gail, with Gail at the table, her latest recipes. Hello, Gail.
Hello there, Peter.
I'm Peter Fleming, of course, just introducing, introducing the young lady. Right.
And Peter, between us, we've got some recipes today. And, of course, I'm going to mention, too, that one of the recipes that I did do out of our chickpea quick recipes was the chickpea curry. And I must admit, beautiful, absolutely successful. One little difference, I put it on a bed of silver beet, which sort of helped a bit, and then I just smothered it with parsley. Only difference. I mean, you can just have it on its own, but with silver beet in the garden, I thought to myself, just put it on a bed of silver beet. And of course, it always looks nice with a bit of green on top. So I smothered it with parsley. So there you are. So if you want to try that, please do.
I saw the photograph and it did look rather nice. Yeah.
Nice and it was beautiful. Wasn't too hot either because I'm not a hot curry person. So
probably,
it was very nice.
Probably not as nice as your spinach artichoke dip.
Oh, right.
Which, of course, you made and you brought a sample in for me.
That was successful.
And I took it home. My wife and I tried it and we give that a definite thumbs up.
Oh, good.
So that was a spinach and artichoke dip, which you said was quite expensive to make.
Well, it was, yeah, but I must admit I had a lot of mozzarella and a fair bit of all the cheeses left over. So I've actually used those for other things, which I made over the weekend. So basically, you might have the outlay, but you might already have those cheeses in your fridge. But a little bit expensive, but very nice. Well worth it.
If you've got special people coming around,
I think
you're
so.
Doing drinks,
definitely.
And a few little bits and pieces before, great one for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we're going to start off today, Peter. These are sort of like thrifty recipes. This one's called Panzanella Tray Bake. And it does include sausages, but it looked really, really lovely. And I think quite economical to make. So we're starting off with a half a sourdough bread loaf torn into 2 centimetre pieces, a third of a cup of extra virgin olive oil, 1 medium eggplant cut into 2 centimetre pieces, 700 grams of pork chipolatas, that's your skinny sausage, 1 red capsicum seeded and also cut into 3 centimetre pieces, 250 grams of cherry truss tomatoes or just the cherry ones. You can get the strawberry ones. There's lots of little tomatoes out there now. 3/4 cup of pitted olives, 4 garlic cloves thinly sliced, 1/2 cup of chicken stock, 1/4 cup of lemon juice and 1/2 cup of fresh basil leaves. Now, our method is to preheat the oven to 180 degrees Celsius.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Whenever it comes to things like eggplant cut into 2 centimetre pieces, you leave the skin on, do you?
Well, some people like to. They just are the skin of the eggplant.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, leave the skin on. And when I say 2 centimetre pieces, I mean just cut it up in chunks, to be quite honest. That's our language.
Well, I wasn't going to get my micrometer out.
So basically just cut up. But yes, I think even when you bake an eggplant, you leave the skin on.
I think you do, but it's always
aubergine, as they say.
It's a bit of a question mark for me.
Yeah, because I think it softens anyway. It softens, a bit like a marrow, no?
But it's very soon cooks down.
Well,
it
cooks down, yeah. So, yes, definitely don't go peeling your eggplant. So we're preheating the oven, as I said. In a bowl, toss the sourdough pieces with half the olive oil and just set aside. In a flame-proof 10-cup casserole dish, heat remaining oil on high. So you're putting that in the oven, actually, and just, you know, heating it in the oven for a bit, and cook the eggplant for 4 to 5 minutes or until golden, and that should cook reasonably fast, and just maybe give it a toss after about 3 minutes. Remove from the pan and set aside. In the same pan, brown the sausages for 4 to 5 minutes and remove dish from the heat. Return the eggplant to the dish with the capsicum, tomatoes, olives and garlic and pour over combined stock and lemon juice and top with the bread, then season. Bake 20 to 25 minutes or until bread is crisp and golden and sausages are cooked through. So there we are. Lovely. And that is colourful.
Oh, golly, yes. And all those tomatoes. I'm looking at the photograph, of course.
Yes. Yeah. Lovely, with all those tomatoes. And being the trussed tomatoes, they've left all these stems on, which makes it look, you know, sort of really nice. So that's just really basically heating through after you've put that through, you know, 20, 25 minutes, because everything's basically more or less cooked.
Yeah, that's pretty simple, isn't it?
And I'm not sure why it's called panzanella. I haven't sort of found a reason for that name, to be quite honest, but maybe it's just somebody's favourite recipe and that's what it was called.
Perhaps Mrs. Panzanella.
Well, it could be. Yes, we don't know, do we? Anyway, it looks like a lovely economical dish, and I must admit, a friend brought a dish. We had a bit of a potluck the other night, and she brought a dish that had bread on top of a meat dish, and it was all crisp and... Oh, it was lovely. It was really nice.
I think bread like that, Gail, it's perhaps a little bit underused. I mean, I find breadcrumbs are fabulous things to use. I always do pan-fried fish with breadcrumbs. Mm. And, of course, if you then make a bready crumble topping for anything, it just gives it that crispiness.
Beautiful. Yeah, absolutely. So that with the sourdough with the soaked in a little bit of oil on top of that would be lovely.
Sounds nice.
Right, so that's our, well, I can call it the main dish, I suppose. And we're going to move on now. And I saw these and they looked beautiful. Chewy ginger nut biscuits with brown sugar buttercream frosting. And they're not ordinary ginger nuts. These are sort of like ginger nut yo-yos, I suppose you could call them, because they're sort of not flattened and they are joined with this delicious buttercream frosting. So, and I suppose I should actually show Peter this because I think he's looking a little bit puzzled about this one.
Not only is he looking puzzled, he is. Oh, I see. All right. So there's sort of two half roundy things glued together with...
glued together. Yeah, exactly.
A big splodge of something or
other. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So they look delicious and they just appealed to me and I thought, yes, we need something nice and simple and, you know, sort of other than just a plain ginger biscuit. So we're looking at 125 grams of butter melted, cooled, plus extra 160 grams softened. 1 cup of firmly packed brown sugar. Now, 1/3 cup of treacle. I mean, that's something that Peter's eyes just very wide open at the moment. basically, I haven't used treacle, to be quite honest, for years. I presume you can still buy it.
Well, I'll just throw something in here because my other program where I refer to news from the UK,
yes,
the Lyle's, the people who make golden syrup, which is treacle, of course, most people, or lots of us, will close our eyes and say, oh, yes, I remember seeing the treacle tin. It's always sat on the shelf in the pantry, the green and gold and with a bit of black.
That's right.
And there was just an article the other day in the paper saying that, oh, well, we've got to update it to appeal to the youth of today. You know what people are like.
Oh, okay.
So they've redesigned.
The treacle tin.
Yeah. So, you know, it used to have that lion, the dead lion, lying on its side.
A dead one.
Yeah, a dead one. And the motto was, from out of the strong came forth weakness, sweetness. From out of the strong came forth sweetness.
Oh.
And it goes back to a parable out of the Bible.
Oh.
Whereby, and I forget who it was walking past this dead lion, went somewhere, came back and saw that the honeybees had built a nest in the carcass. And we're flying around, and hence from out of the strong came forth sweetness. And it's always been the motto on the treacle tin. I remember reading it as a tiny little child.
That's a good story.
There's a little story.
Well, it's really interesting.
Yeah. So treacle, you see, most people talk about golden syrup and things, but I think...
But they are two separate things.
You're absolutely right. They're two separate things.
That's right. And I think the golden syrup tin is in... is it sort of golden?
I'm not quite sure because I'm just old-fashioned. And if we use anything, we use treacle.
Yeah. Well, you do use treacle.
Well, I say if we use anything, I think I don't know if we use it. I haven't used it for ages.
But, no, but anyway, why I'm sort of you know, sort of being surprised is that treacle, you could actually use a third of a cup of golden syrup.
Well, I would think so.
Yeah, and yeah. I think the treacle will probably gives it more of a dark look. And definitely a different flavour, I would say. Because I don't think they taste the same.
Oh, because black treacle is molasses, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
Don't you think, it's a funny word, treacle. The more you say it, treacle.
Yeah, treacle. Word of the day, treacle. Ooh. So basically, well, if you've got treacle in the cupboard, please use it. But if not, don't rush out and buy a tin for a third of a cup, okay? So 3 teaspoons of vanilla extract, 1 egg, 2 cups of plain flour, 1.5 teaspoons of ground ginger, 1 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon of mixed spice, 1/4 teaspoon of ground cloves, 1 teaspoon of baking soda, and 1/3 cup of raw sugar. Now, what we're doing is preheating the oven to 180 degrees Celsius. Line 2 large oven trays with baking paper. Put butter, and that's the first measure of butter I'm talking about, 1/2 cup of brown sugar, treacle, 2 teaspoons of vanilla and egg in a small bowl of an electric mixer. Beat on high using the paddle attachment. And you'll know what I mean if you've got a mixer for the paddle attachment. For 5 minutes or until thick and well combined. Sift the flour, ginger, cinnamon, mixed spice, cloves and baking soda over the butter mixture. With mixer on slow speed, beat flour mixture into the batter until combined. Transfer mixture to a large bowl and refrigerate 30 minutes or until firmish, because these will be quite sort of soft so that, you know, the mixture is going to firm up in the fridge for you to handle. Put raw sugar in a bowl, roll tablespoons of mixture into balls and roll in the raw sugar. Put on the prepared trays 4 centimetres apart, allowing room for spreading. Now, they're not going to spread too much, I'm pretty sure of that. From looking at this illustration, they're sort of really like a lid, I guess, is the best way. They don't really spread out. Bake for 20 minutes or until the biscuits are cracked, so they sort of get that cracked look, or they're just light brown in colour. Stand biscuits on a tray for 10 minutes, then transfer to a wire rack to cool. Now, these biscuits will become firmer on standing. To make the brown sugar buttercream frosting, put the extra butter we talked about, 160 grams that is, the remaining brown sugar, which is a 1/2 cup, and remaining vanilla in a large bowl. Beat using an electric hand mixer until smooth and creamy. Now, then, when your biscuits are, you know, sort of firmed up, join them together with the frosting. And you can use a piping bag if you want them to look sort of pretty in between. But I'd be just spooning it through and sticking them together. But they do look nice. With that sugar coating over the top, it sort of, you know, stands out, makes them look very yummy.
They do look very yummy and they sound very yummy. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're chewy.
Mm. Might get around to trying those sometime.
Well, yes, I think they look quite nice and something different too again as
yes,
well.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Right, well, there we are. It's brought us to the halfway stage in the programme, which is where we play a little music. I noticed the other day, I was listening to the programme that Catherine recorded with you, and you were saying, she said, does Peter get up and dance and things in the when we play the music, like I do? Apparently Catherine sings and dances around the place. So I thought, well, okay, this week then, Gail suggested we play Brown Sugar by the Rolling Stones, very appropriate for that last one. So I'm going to play it now, and Gail, if you'll join me on the dance floor.
Shake your booty.
Well, shake something. We'll be right back. Thank you, Gail. Golly. Well, you could sit down now.
Oh, right.
I enjoyed that.
Well, that's my exercise for the day, that's for sure.
Right. Must do that more often. Do you come here often? Oh. Right. Next part of the cooking. Off you go.
Right. Well, this one that I've chosen, and because it had an unusual name, and it's I'll spell it because it, you don't say it how it's spelt. And it's spelt U-R-U-G-E-L-A-C-H, and it's apparently pronounced rugala. And this is an apricot and walnut rugala slice. And it's it's a classic American treat, originated, though, in the Jewish community in Poland. So it's got a little bit of history behind it. So this is what appealed to me. And apart from the fact that it's got apricots and walnuts in it, which is two that I love, you know, it looked pretty good. So we're starting off with the pastry, which is 2 cups of plain flour, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 200 grams of butter, diced and chilled, 225 grams of cream cheese, diced, and that is the pastry. So I think the dicing is because it'll be easier to, you know, sort of make the pastry with, because you usually normally cut in your butter anyway.
Is there any limit to what you can put in when you're making pastry? I've never heard of cream cheese before in pastry, why don't you throw yogurt in and you throw all sorts of things, can't you?
You can. And I think this is going to probably make it quite short, you know, very rich with the cream cheese in it.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
And 1 cup of dried apricots finely chopped, 1 cup of walnuts finely chopped, 1/2 cup of caster sugar, this is the filling I'm talking about now, 2 teaspoons of ground cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon of ground nutmeg, finely grated zest of 1 orange, 3 tablespoons of melted butter, and that's actually the filling. Now, to assemble, we're using 1/2 cup of apricot jam, 1 egg yolk mixed with 1 teaspoon of water and 1 tablespoon of raw sugar. So now we're going to assemble it, and this is our method. So you're doing this in a Swiss roll tin, which I think most people have got in their equipment cupboard, and fully line it with baking paper. Preheat the oven to 160 degrees fan bake, and first of all, we're going to make the pastry. Put the flour, salt, butter and cream cheese in a food processor and pulse until the dough looks like rough breadcrumbs. Tip onto the bench and bring the dough together with your hands, which we normally do with pastry anyway. There should be small pieces of butter visible and form into 2 equal flat pieces, then wrap in plastic wrap and refrigerate it until it's firm, which probably be about could be between 20 minutes and 1/2 hour. Now the filling, stir together the apricots, walnuts, sugar, spices, zest and butter in a bowl. On a lightly floured bench, roll out 1 piece of the pastry that you've had in the fridge so it's just firm. Keep the remaining piece in the fridge as the pastry is very difficult to work with if it gets soft. Place in the tin and trim to fit the base. Spread over the jam, then spoon over the filling, spreading evenly. If the pastry is soft, chill until firm before spreading the jam. So we've just gone back a step. So if it is a bit soft, but I think if you're working quick, that's not going to happen. Roll out the second piece of pastry and place on top, trimming the edges. Brush the top of the dough with egg yolk mix, then sprinkle with sugar. Bake for about 40 minutes until deeply golden and crisp. Cool slightly before cutting into fingers or squares. Now that sounds lovely. That absolutely sounds lovely.
I agree with you. It does sound lovely.
Well, you can't get much of an indication there, but
no, that's right. That does look nice.
Yeah, it's actually covered, and
so it's a lovely golden sort of
colour. It is a lovely golden.
And it's got that rough sort of almost bubbly effect.
That's right. And I think it looks rich, if you know what I mean, with that cream cheese within that within the pastry. It looks sort of really rich. And they've cut it, but I wish they'd cut it a bit more so that I could see exactly what was inside.
It looks beautiful. The end view. Well, it sounds very good. The only thing I raising my eyebrow, my Roger Moore eyebrow.
Yes. looking for a new 007.
I've got an eyebrow. is the pastry, Gail, that it's just flour, salt, butter, and the cream cheese, and they don't add any other liquid, no splash of water or anything.
I was going to say, they've omitted the splash of water, which you would normally do. So I think the cream cheese is substituting for that more than anything. You know, it's quite a bit of cream. It's quite a bit of cream cheese, actually.
And it's interesting that they do say just whiz it into crumbs in the food processor
and then work it.
Crumbs out and then work. So interesting.
Yeah, and work it. But like they say, you know, you must put it in the fridge because I think it's, as I said, it's quite a short pastry, which is rich. And you'll need to, you know, definitely keep it firm.
Yeah, that might be worth a try, that one.
Well, it could be worth a try. Yes, I'll see how I go over the next week. And I could have a go at that. I might have to invest in a slice tin because I don't know what happened to mine. And I've got a bigger tin, which I have to sort of put something in between it so it doesn't spread out too much. So I'll be on the lookout for one of those.
Get down the op shop, treat yourself to a new one.
Yes, yes, I will. Find another one.
All righty. Okay, now we've just got a few minutes left for your macadamia and orange bliss
balls. And nice quick one, and they look yummy, and I thought these would be nice for, you know, just to take somewhere if you're going out, and they say, well, just bring something for a snack. And you need 3/4 cup of macadamia nuts, raw or roasted. Now, we had some of these medjool dates, I think that's correct, isn't it?
Six that's the ones, yeah.
Medjool dates, and the pips removed or the stones removed. I've actually seen these in the supermarket now that we've spoken about them, medjool dates.
They're usually there, perhaps in a plastic box
So it brought this, you know, to my attention that there is such a thing as these medjool dates. 1/2 teaspoon of turmeric, 1/2 teaspoon of cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon of nutmeg, 1 teaspoon of cocoa powder, zest of an orange, 2 tablespoons of orange juice, and 2 tablespoons of chia seeds. Now, add all the ingredients except the chia seeds to a food processor and blend until the mixture comes together. Add the chia seeds then and pulse briefly, very briefly, just so that they're going to combine. And then roll the mixture into 8 even-sized balls. Grate over some extra orange zest if desired and refrigerate until ready to enjoy. Now, I'm going to give you a little tip. If you sort of think, that doesn't make much. That only makes 8 balls. And I'd really like to double this, you know, recipe. So you can do that. But be careful that there's no need to double the turmeric. So your 1/2 teaspoon of turmeric is absolutely fine for a double batch. And then you can store them in an airtight container in the fridge for up to a week.
Now, that a good tip, that one, about the turmeric, because I'm sure a lot of people would be tempted to.
No, that's right. Well, when you double a recipe, what do? We double everything, don't we? Mm. So, and it's telling us, no, don't. 1/2 teaspoon of turmeric for this recipe, if you're doubling it, is enough.
Right. Well, they sound nice as well. Oh, yes. I should try those. We used to have a macadamia farm, you see.
Oh my goodness. Grow macadamias. Oh, right. So are they nice or raw or roasted since you've...
They're best roasted.
Yeah, I wondered that.
Yeah.
It would bring more of the flavour out, wouldn't it?
Mm. Yeah,
I would choose. Oh, are they? Mm. So you wouldn't need to add anything. Just put them in the oven and quickly roast them.
Oh, yes, that's all. Yeah. Well, they roast fairly dry, you know, but they...
Yeah, that's what I mean, but that's nice. Better, yeah. Well, there you are. So we're going for roasted ones.
You should do. That's a lot better, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They sound nice. Yeah.
So that's it. That's us.
That's us, and I think we've just nicely filled the time there
again. Oh, that's good. And I hope people get some fun or enjoyment out of doing those. And I hope, you know, that we might be able to squeeze in something in between times and bring it in.
Yeah, that's right. Just make it, just lift the program. We've got something to eat on the side.
Yes. And it's good to actually, because these are all new recipes to us.
That's
know.
Right. And they're feedback, these little bits that you learn as you go along.
That's about, right. And I just sort of think if we can sort of bake one every now and again, it just gives the listeners an idea of what they're like.
Exactly. Mm. Right, there we are then. Well, we've run out of time. I'm sure we have. So with thanks to Gail, thanks to the Rolling Stones.
And thank you, Peter.
Off we go. Bye, Gail.
Bye.
This program is made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.